Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Leviticus, and we're on chapter 25. And let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint this 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus. Lord, this book, this chapter, has to do with keeping the Sabbath. And that is resting from our old life. We put that away and we rest in you. We totally are to put away the former life and to just rest in you. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath, give you rest, the Lord says. And for people that refuse to walk in holiness in the Holy Spirit, there are terrible repercussions from God for that. The Lord killed about 118,000 men in the book of Numbers when they were committing adultery right after their big victory. And that's one of the victory over this Balak. And they got so haughty and high-minded because they had a victory, they were blessed by the Lord. The devil couldn't get them that way. The Lord wouldn't allow Balaam to curse the children of Israel because at that moment they were resting in the Lord. Resting in the Lord. The Lord doesn't allow anyone to be harmed when they're resting in the Lord. They're not living the old former life. But after they saw the victory, then they decided to commit adultery. They got involved with the pagan worship of one of the tribes of Canaan land. Those idol worshippers there that the Lord told the children of Israel to go in and kill because they were into perverted sex. And one of the men of Israel brought even one of these women into the camp right near the actual tabernacle of the Lord. And the people saw it. And so one of the members, one of Aaron's descendants, grabbed the spear and ran into the tent and ran it right through the back of the man and through the stomach of the woman and killed them both. There was a big plague that was going on. 118,000, I believe it was, people died in that plague because of their worshiping a Canaanite god of perversion and sex, adultery, and all manner of uncleanness. And the plague stopped when this Levite ran in there and killed them both because he showed a tremendous zeal to keep God's commandments and to keep sin out of the camp. Nowadays, people say, well, no one can tell me what business was it of that Levite to go in and kill these two people. I mean, they were having sex, and it was their business, it was their bodies. And that's what people are saying today. No one can tell me what to do with my body. Well, that's what they thought, too, for a while, and the Lord slaughtered 118,000 of them. And a lot of people have AIDS today, and he's slaughtering them. And you've got a lot of bleeding hearts today that are trying to stop people, these homosexuals, from having AIDS. But this is a poison that they're receiving from the Lord. And God is turning them into monsters. They look like monsters when they have AIDS. And your body does not belong to you, and God is showing you people in the world that it doesn't. You have to rest in the Lord in order to be blessed by God. You have to rest in the Sabbath. So, Father, we ask that you anoint this chapter and bless it into the hearts of all the hearers. And Lord, I pray that they wake up from this, that we belong to ourselves and not the Lord. Lord, you created us to serve you. You created us in your image and likeness, and you don't want us to defile this human body that you made, but you want us to all be God-men with your spirit in us. As we rest from our old labors, we don't do what we did before. Now we rest in you to serve you. Lord, and this is what this chapter is all about, is Sabbath. Resting in the Sabbath. Give me that header again.
The Sabbath year.
And this is the Sabbath year. Now we have to Sabbath and for all the rest of the Lord's life in us until we are taken up into the kingdom of heaven. So, Lord, we pray that everyone will learn the lesson, all the lessons in this chapter, in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Leviticus chapter 25, the Sabbath year, King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. Verse 3, 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof.
See, right there tells you even the land must Sabbath. Then what else?
Verse 4, but in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard.
Okay, that's a commandment. Don't do any of your own work. I tell you to rest, that means rest. Okay, then what?
Verse 5, that which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. Verse 6, and the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee.
See, the Lord is teaching people in the Old Testament to rest in Jesus, to rest in his word, where he says the Sabbath, and he'll multiply it all back to you again. Okay, then what?
Verse 7, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. Verse 8, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Verse 9, then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Verse 10, and ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family.
See, even if you bought a piece of property from a person, and they can't afford to, and it hits 50, the 50th year, that person, whoever sold it to you, gets it back. You have to give it back to him. And that, the reason for that is because the land doesn't belong to any human being. It belongs to the Lord, and that's his rule. Okay? And so any bill that you owe is forgiven after that. Like, for instance, we have an economy here, or we have a national debt of, I don't know how many trillion dollars now, but it was incurred because of World War II. And that's been over 50 years ago, so there should be a year of jubilee. All this money was caused by the Vatican causing a war or fortifying Germany with money and enough to attack other countries and eventually us. And then the Vatican came to us and asked if we'd like to have some money to fight the Germans. And we said yes. And so they loaned it to us. They said, if we loan it to you, then how are we going to collect it? They said, well, we said, we'll tax us. We'll tax the people. And Vatican says, okay, but we want to be the tax agents in your country. We want to be able to do the tax collecting. And so they says, we're going to call the organization the IRS. And so everybody knows, I mean, if you don't, I don't know where you've been, but the Internal Revenue Service is not a part of our government. Never was. And so if the Vatican were Christians, why would they not have a year of jubilee and forgive that debt? It was a war that they started, and the people that are living today didn't have anything to do with that war. The people really didn't want it, and so therefore the Vatican had Pearl Harbor bombed to make everybody go to war. Their main purpose, Satan's purpose, is to murder everybody in the world that is unsaved, so that their souls can go to hell before they get saved, and to make as much torment and sorrow in the world that they possibly can. Woe to the inhabitants of the world, the Bible states, for the devil has been cast down.
Verse 11, a jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vineyard undressed.
Right, because there's no need to work anymore, because if you owed several $1 trillion, it's all forgiven. We're debt-free. Isn't that nice?
Yes.
Now, if I was ruler of the world, that's I'd instill these rules of the Lord here. Amen?
Yeah.
Wouldn't the world be a better place to forgive all debts? What a wonderful God that He just forgives all your debts. Amen? And gives your property back to you that you had to sell because you had some rough times 50 years ago. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You could breathe easily again. Amen?
Yeah.
And start all over. Praise the Lord. And that's what it is when we get saved, where you get a new life. Amen?
Amen?
It's better than the year of Jubilee then, because we're born again of the Spirit. We have a new life, a new lease on life. All our sins are forgiven. And we're free to serve the Lord. We're no longer bound by the devil. So salvation, when we get saved, that's the year of Jubilee. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
Verse 12, for it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Then what?
Verse 13, in the year of this jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession.
See, you return everything back to him. I bought like a herd of cows from you about 5 years ago, and I have to return them to you. Or if they're all dead or something, I still have to return whatever it was, if the offspring from those cows. All right, then what?
Verse 14, and if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. Verse 15, according to the number of years after the jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor.
Right, in other words, if a neighbor's selling a piece of land, and it's only, it's like 20 years from the Jubilee, well, then you figure, okay, the land is worth, if it was a 50-year Jubilee, it'd be worth $100,000. But, so, there's only like 20 years left on the Jubilee, so you deduct 30 years from there, and then you figure, well, it's only worth $40,000 now, because I only get to keep it for 20 years. Amen?
Amen.
And if it's 10 years, well, it's only worth $10,000. All right? Right, so that's what the Lord just portions it out real neat, doesn't He?
Yes.
Depending on how many years is left before the Jubilee is what you pay. Okay, then what?
According unto the number of years of the fruits, he shall sell unto thee.
Yeah, because the land is only going to produce so much per year, and they just figure, well, should be able to make a good profit if I buy it for 5 or 10 years, you know? And I can sell so many pounds of apples or whatever I'm growing on the land. Because I'm going to have to give it back in 10 years anyway. If it's only 1 year, it's only made worth maybe $1,000 or $2,000. Amen?
Amen.
It'd be like shekels, you know. We're just talking in English here. Okay, then keep going.
Verse 16. According to the multitude of years thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years thou shalt diminish the price of it.
See, that's what it's saying. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
For according to the number of the years of the fruits doth he sell unto thee. Translation, verse 1 through 16. The Sabbath year. Verse 1. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, the Lord said to him, quote, verse 2, give these instructions to the Israelites. When you have entered the land I am giving you as an inheritance, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord every seventh year. Verse 3. For 6 years you may plant your fields and prune your vineyards and harvest your crops. Verse 4. But during the seventh year the land will enjoy a Sabbath year of rest to the Lord. Do not plant your crops or prune your vineyards during that entire year. Verse 5. And don't store away the crops that grow naturally, or process the grapes that grow on your unpruned vines. The land is to have a year of total rest. Verse 6.
Now why is the Lord? Because the Lord owns the land. You and I don't own the land. To prove that, we die. Amen?
Amen.
He owns everything. And so he can. He's the boss of the land, so he can tell you to rest it. Amen?
Amen.
Keep your greasy fingers off of it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Verse 6. But you, your male and female slaves, your hired servants, and any foreigners who live with you, may eat the produce that grows naturally during the Sabbath year. Verse 7. And your livestock and the wild animals will also be allowed to eat of the land's bounty.
Right, what are you going to do, tell the wild animals, don't eat? No, they're going to eat. And there's a lot of stuff that just, you know, you can see grass out there growing naturally, and stuff goes to seed, and it just would grow up certain things. But the animals and the wild animals can eat it. Okay, and poor people, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The year of Jubilee, verse 8. In addition, you must count off 7 Sabbath years, 7 years times 7, adding up to 49 years in all. Verse 9. Then on the Day of Atonement of the 50th year, blow the trumpets loud and long throughout the land. Verse 10. This year will be set apart as holy, a holy time to proclaim release for all who live there. It will be a jubilee year for you, when each of you returns to the lands that belong to your ancestors and rejoins your clan. Verse 11.
Yeah, and see, this is why Job, you know, when the Lord took all the things away from him, it all belongs to the Lord anyway. So he was able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Naked came I into the world, and naked am I going to go out. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord gave, and the Lord took away. What's the difference, you know? Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what I put a big sign like that when the government took $100 million worth of our property away. Put a big sign in our window in Nashville. Said the same. I just repeated what Job said. And the newspaper came down, took a picture of it, and put it in the front page of their paper. It's because they thought that was just going to destroy me. But I know the Lord, you know, and I know that it all belonged to him anyway. And he could have stopped him. But he didn't. He was trying or testing me, you know, to see if I'd be like Job. And according to what I see, Job said, I said the same thing, amen? And I smiled about it, and I felt good and warm inside, you know, because I know that everything belongs to the Lord. No one can take anything away from me unless the Lord takes it away from me. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord will stop the devil from taking Job's life. Amen?
Amen?
He couldn't take his life. And if the Lord takes my life, well then, he wanted to take it. Amen?
Amen?
And that's fine with me. Okay? And that should be fine with you. You get used to knowing that God owns everything. You don't own anything. Oh, God, I'm going to leave all these savings and everything, all my property and everything. I'm going to die and I'm going to leave it. Oh, God, please. Baloney with that kind of thinking, amen?
Amen?
Didn't belong to you in the first place. The Lord's just letting you use it, amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 11. Yes, the 50th year will be a jubilee for you. During that year, do not plant any seeds or store away any of the crops that grow naturally. and do not process the grapes that grow on your unpruned vines. Verse 12, it will be a jubilee year for you, and you must observe it as a special and holy time. You may, however, eat the produce that grows naturally in the fields that year. Verse 13, in the year of Jubilee, each of you must return to the lands that belong to your ancestors. Verse 14, when you make an agreement with a neighbor to buy or sell property, you must never take advantage of each other. Verse 15, when you buy land from your neighbor, the price of the land should be based on the number of years since the last Jubilee. The seller will charge you only for the crop years left until the next year of Jubilee. Verse 16, the more the years, the higher the price. The fewer the years, the lower the price. After all, the person selling the land is actually selling you a certain number of harvests. King James Version, verse 17, ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Verse 18, wherefore ye shall do my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land in safety. Verse 19, and the land shall...
Isn't that something? If you do everything he says, you're going to dwell in the land in safety. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord told me, get the literature out, and you will not be destroyed. If you don't get it out, they will destroy you. Okay? So that's a promise. But you'll dwell in safety if you get it out, and you keep my commandments on top of it. Okay, what else?
Verse 19, and the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill, and dwell therein in safety. Verse 20, and if ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow, nor gather in our increase. Verse 21, then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. Verse 22, and ye shall sow the eighth year, and eat yet of old fruit until the ninth year. Until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. Verse 23, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers. And
it's not going to be sold. I'm not selling you. No one can sell the land forever, that it's yours forever, because the land belongs to me, God said. Amen?
Amen.
It's mine. Well, you got a lot of guts, you know, thinking that you have the right to sell this land forever and to keep it forever. No. You got to give it back every 50 years. Release it. We owe debts in the United States of America. If it was a real president of the United States, if this is under God, then let us observe the laws of God and read to tell Europe, you know, thumb your nose at them, saying, this is the year of Jubilee. We don't owe you a cent anymore. God said so. Amen?
Amen.
That's how I wrote a piece of literature years ago saying I could solve the national debt with one stroke if I was the president of the United States. And I'm not afraid of the European nations. I just tell them, look, read the Bible and see for yourself. Okay, then what else?
For ye are strangers and sojourners with me. Verse 24, and in all the land of your possession ye shall grant a redemption for the land. Verse 25, if thy brother be waxen poor and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. Verse 26.
And it goes right back to the former owner. That way nobody can be poor forever. Amen?
Amen.
What else?
Verse 26. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, verse 27, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. Verse 28, but if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it, until the year of Jubilee, and in the Jubilee it shall go out, and he shall return unto his possession.
See, the Lord is teaching everybody how to do business. Amen?
Amen.
So he's not only a savior of your soul, he tells you how to get along in life, how to stay in business. Okay, then what?
Verse 29, and if a man sell a dwelling house in a walled city, then he may redeem it within a whole year after it is sold, within a full year may he redeem it. Verse 30, and if it be not redeemed within the space of a full year, then the house that is in the walled city shall be established forever to him that bought it, throughout his generations. It shall not go out in the Jubilee. Verse 31, but the houses of the villages which have no wall round about them shall be counted as the fields of the country. They may be redeemed, and they shall go out in the Jubilee. Verse 32, notwithstanding, the cities of the Levites and the houses of the cities of their possession may the Levites redeem at any time. Verse 33, and if a man purchase of the Levites, then the house that was sold and the city of his possession shall go out in the year of Jubilee. For the houses of the cities of the Levites are their possession among the children of Israel. Verse 34, but the field of the suburbs of their cities may not be sold, for it is their perpetual possession. Verse 35, and if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Translation, verse 17 through 35. Verse 17, show your fear of God by not taking advantage of each other. I, the Lord, am your God. Verse 18, if you want to live securely in the land, keep my laws and obey my regulations. Verse 19, then the land will yield bumper crops, and you will eat your fill and live securely in it. Verse 20, but you might ask, quote, what will we eat during the seventh year, since we're not allowed to plant or harvest crops that year, unquote. Verse 21, the answer is, quote, I will order my blessing for you in the sixth year, so that the land will produce a bumper crop, enough to support you for 3 years. Verse 22, as you plant the seed in the eighth year, you will still be eating the produce of the previous year. In fact, you will eat from the old crop until the new harvest comes in the ninth year, unquote. Verse 23, and remember, the land must never be sold on a permanent basis, because it really belongs to me. You are only foreigners and tenants living with me. Redemption of property. Verse 24, with every sale of land, there must be a stipulation that the land can be redeemed at any time. Verse 25, if any of your Israelite relatives go bankrupt and are forced to sell some inherited land, then a close relative, a kinsman, redeemer, may buy it back for them. Verse 26, if there is no one to redeem the land, but the person who sold it manages to get enough money to buy it back. Verse 27, then that person has the right to redeem it from the one who bought it. The price of the land will be based on the number of years until the next year of Jubilee. After buying it back, the original owner may then return to the land. Verse 28, but if the original owner cannot afford to redeem it, then it will belong to the new owner until the next year of Jubilee. In the Jubilee year, the land will be returned to the original owner. Verse 29, anyone who sells a house inside a walled city has a right to redeem it for a full year after its sale. During that time, the seller retains the right to buy it back. Verse 30, but if it is not redeemed within a year, then the house within the walled city will become the permanent property of the buyer. It will not be returned to the original owner the year of Jubilee. Verse 31, but a house in a village, a settlement without fortified walls, will be treated like property in the open fields. Such a house may be redeemed at any time and must be returned to the original owner in the year of Jubilee. Verse 32, the Levites always have a right to redeem any house they have sold within the cities belonging to them. Verse 33, and any property that can be redeemed by the Levites, all houses within the Levitical cities must be returned in the year of Jubilee. After all, the cities reserved for the Levites are the only property they own in all Israel. Verse 34, the strip of pasture land around each of the Levitical cities may never be sold. It is their permanent ancestral property. the redemption of the poor and enslaved. Verse 35. If any of your Israelite relatives fall into poverty and cannot support themselves, support them as you would a resident foreigner, and allow them to live with you. King James Version, verse 36. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Verse 37. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. Verse 38. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, to give you the land of Canaan, and to be your God. Verse 39. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor, and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant. Verse 40. But as an hired servant, and as a sojourner, he shall be with thee, and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. Verse 41. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his fathers shall he return. Verse 42. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. Verse 43. Thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, but shall fear thy God. Verse 44. Both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall ye buy bondmen and bondmaids. Verse 45. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them shall ye buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begat in your land, and they shall be your possession. Translation, verse 36 through 45. Do not demand an advance or charge interest on the money you lend them. Instead, show your fear of God by letting them live with you as your relatives. Verse 37. Remember, do not charge your relatives interest on anything you lend them, whether money or food. Verse 38. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you out of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan, and to be your God. Verse 39. If any of your Israelite relatives go bankrupt and sells to you, do not treat them as slaves. Verse 40. Treat them instead as hired servants, or as resident foreigners who live with you, and they will serve you only until the year of Jubilee. Verse 41. At that time, they and their children will no longer be obligated to you, and they will return to their clan and ancestral property. Verse 42. The people of Israel are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt, so they must never be sold as slaves. Verse 43. Show your fear of God by treating them well. Never exercise your power over them in a ruthless way. Verse 44. However, you may purchase male or female slaves from among the foreigners who live among you. Verse 45. You may also purchase the children of such resident foreigners, including those who have been born in your land. You may treat them as your property. King James Version, verse 46. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, you shall not rule one over another with rigor. Verse 47. And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, verse 48, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Verse 49, either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he be able, he may redeem himself. Verse 50, and he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold to him unto the year of Jubilee, and the price of his sale shall be according unto the number of years. According to the time of an hired servant shall it be with him. Verse 51. If there be yet many years behind, according unto them, he shall give again the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for. verse 52, and if there remain but few years unto the year of Jubilee, then he shall count with him, and according unto his years shall he give him again the price of his redemption. Verse 53, and as a yearly hired servant shall he be with him, and the other shall not rule with rigor over him in thy sight. Verse 54, and if he be not redeemed in these years, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him. Verse 55, for unto me the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Translation, verse 46 through 55. You may treat them as your property, passing them on to your children as a permanent inheritance. You may treat your slaves like this, but the people of Israel, your relatives, must never be treated this way.
Now, you know, it's like the same thing. The people in the church, the world knows that we love one another because we do help one another. Amen?
Amen.
All right, and then what else?
Verse 47.
And helping sometimes is rebuking and reproving people. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, the Lord says he chastens those whom he loves. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're getting chastened, just remember, it's love. Amen?
Amen.
Tough love. Right? That's what it takes. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
Verse 47. If a resident foreigner becomes rich, and if some of your Israelite relatives go bankrupt and sell themselves to such a foreigner, verse 48, they shall still retain the right of redemption. They may be bought back by a close relative. Verse 49, an uncle, a nephew, or anyone else who's closely related. They may also redeem themselves if they can get the money. Verse 50, the price of their freedom will be based on the number of years left until the next year of Jubilee, whatever it would cost to hire a servant for that number of years. Verse 51, if many years still remain, they will repay most of what they received when they sold themselves. Verse 52, if only a few years remain until the year of Jubilee, then they will repay a relatively small amount for their redemption. Verse 53, the foreigner must treat them as servants hired on a yearly basis. You must not allow a resident foreigner to treat any of your Israelite relatives ruthlessly. Verse 54, if any Israelites have not been redeemed by the time the year of Jubilee arrives, then they and their children must be set free at that time. Verse 55, for the people of Israel are my servants, whom I have brought out of the land of Egypt. I, the Lord, am your God.
Okay, that was the last verse in chapter 25 of Leviticus, and now we have some commentary. But first, before we do that, I'd like to call Jennifer over to the microphone here to tell of an incident that happened today. I was on the telephone, I got a call from Jennifer, and she said she was at the doctor's office, and that there were a man and a woman, that a man came in, and they refused to serve him because he didn't have $200. Was that it?
Yes.
And then there was a woman that came in. Were they together?
Yes, they were together.
Okay, and they went to give aid to any one of them. So I told Jennifer, I says, well, why didn't you just go ahead and tell them that I'd take care of it? Because, see, that's what we're supposed to do. Amen?
Amen.
That's the only way that we can tell that people can tell that we're of the Lord. I says, we'll pay the $200. I mean, the Lord will send it back to 100 times. Amen?
Amen.
So you can go ahead and finish the story.
Well, when we first walked into the doctor's office, there was a man in a wheelchair, and his wife was pushing him, and they were walking out, and they looked very poor. And there was an old man that was sitting there, and he looked at me and Ann, and he said, did you see what they just did? And I said, no. And he said, they just told him they couldn't see him. And I said, well, why? He says, just because he didn't have $200. And he said, they have to see him. He's dying, and he has cancer. And so then he's reached into his pocket, this old man, and started pulling out like ones and fives, and he looked very poor also. And he walked up to the lady at the counter, and he said, please see this man. He needs to be seen. This is all I have. And at that point, I walked out of the doctor's office to try to catch the people once I heard what had happened and see where they went. And the lady at the counter said, "Sir, it's not your, it's, you know, don't worry about it. It's not your responsibility." And he was crying. He says, "Please see them." And so that's when I called Tony, and he said, "Well, find them. You know, you should have called me right away, because you know that this is what we do. You know, go find them and bring them back up to the doctor, and tell them that to see these people, and then I'm going to pay for it." And so I went looking for them, and I couldn't find them. And so I called Tony back, and he said, "Well, go to the front desk and tell them to call the people."
Yeah, tell the doctor, because they always take your name, address, and phone number. Maybe they have a cell phone. Call them and tell them to come right back, because somebody has volunteered to pay for them.
Right. Yeah. And so when I told the people at the front desk, she said she had to talk to the doctor about it first. And so I waited, and so I went back to her. I said, "Did you get their phone number? Did you call them?" And she says, "Well, I'm still waiting to talk to the doctor." And so at this time, they had called us to the back, and the lady came into the room where we were and said, "Don't worry, they came back, and the Medicaid paid the $200 deductible." And so I said, "So they're here right now?" And she said, "Yes." So I walked out to the waiting room, partially because I wanted to make sure, you know, they really were there, and they were, and I sat down next to them, and I told them that our pastor, I told them what the situation was, and our pastor wanted, you know, actually sent me looking for you to pay the $200 so you could see the doctor. And the woman just burst into tears and gave me a hug. And then the man said, what? And the woman said, "He can't hear. You have to talk right in his ear." So I leaned over to the man and I started talking right in his ear, very slowly and very loudly, and told him what had happened. And he started crying and got this big smile on his face. And he said, "Where's the church? Where's the church?" And I told him it's in Falk, Arkansas. And I told him the address. And he says, "What denomination is the pastor?" And I said, "He's a non-denominational, fundamental preacher, and he preaches the whole Word of God." And he says, "I've been looking for a church, and I didn't want to go to these big ones, because I just knew the truth wasn't there. I found a church," and he was so happy, and they said, "We're just so happy that the Lord thought of us so much to actually send you to go looking for us," and it was just incredible. And then while I was looking for, I didn't tell you this part, but while I was looking for these people, Anne was talking to the old man, who was crying, and the man said that he was saved. And he wanted to know who our pastor was, and she told him Tony Lamo, and he said, and he had heard of you, and he said that he is saved, and he knows that he's dying, and he says, "And I'm ready to meet the Lord." And he says, "But what makes me cry is that I used to be a millionaire, and but I was swindled out of all my money, and I could have had the money to pay for this man if I would have had it, if they wouldn't have taken all my money from me." And he too wanted to come to services.
But, you know, a lot of people might say, "Well, why didn't you just tell him to pray for the man?" Well, because we would have got to that eventually, but the prayer for him would mean a lot more when he knows that somebody's offered to pay the $200. Amen?
Amen.
And I'd rather be like the Good Samaritan than so somebody just waves her hand over him and say, "Be warmed and filled, be healed, warmed and filled, be healed. Oh, blessed one, be warmed and filled and healed." You know,
amen.
This is what most people do. But, I mean, you've got to take the guy out of the ditch and then take him over to a place and nurse him. Amen?
Amen.
There's something that he needs. And then he'll say, "Praise the Lord, there are people of the Lord in this world. And I want to go out there and I want them to pray for me. And then maybe I'll be healed." Amen?
Amen.
And I believe I will be, because
amen,
these people are doing the things that the Lord says to do. So it's a lot more than reading and praying. I mean, we have to read and pray, but we also have to attend to people when we see, you know, them in trouble, when we see that they need medical attention, and then we got to do something for them. Amen? That's
amen.
Just what we do all the time. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so now, because these people, everybody is a creation of the Lord. And if the Lord loves them so much, they gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him, Jesus, who is the Word of God, and the Word of God tells us to do that. If you really believe God, then, you know, reach in your pocket and help a person that's sick. Amen?
Amen.
And feed a person that's hungry. and clothe a person that is naked, and visit somebody that is in prison. Amen?
Amen.
Let's do the work of the Lord. Because it's a lot more than just reading. Because when you read, you're supposed to find out what you're supposed to do. Amen? Okay, so, and the Lord tells you, you see in His Word where He says, leave food for the poor and for those that are traveling. Amen?
Amen.
And the parable of the Good Samaritan. There is a priest that goes down one side of the road, a Levite on the other, and both of them do nothing for the person. Then a Good Samaritan doesn't claim to be a religious man at all or a saved person. And he goes down there and, like, you know, cleans the man up and puts some oil on him, his wound, and some wine on there to kill the germs and everything. Puts him on his donkey and takes him over to an inn and nurses the person and makes sure that the man is attended to. And he's busy working someplace else, but that doesn't mean that he can't do something for the man while he's gone. He says, whatever this guy wants, give it to him, okay? Whatever he needs, give him whatever he needs. And when I come back, just put it on my tab and I'll pay for it. Amen?
Amen?
And that's what I told the doctor. Just put it on my tab, whatever it is, because it isn't just because I know the Lord is going to pay it back 100 times. It's just because it's the commandment of the Lord to do it. Amen?
Amen.
But I know the Lord is going to do it anyway. That's why we get blessed so much. Amen?
Amen?
All right, so let's read some of the commentaries here from chapter 25 of Leviticus.
25 verses 1 through 55. This chapter, chapter 25, describes the seventh year Sabbath and the year of Jubilee. It deals with the Sabbath for the land, verses 2 through 22, the redemption of property, verses 23 through 38, and the redemption of slaves, verses 39 through 55. The primary purpose for these regulations is to prevent the total ruin of the land and of indebted people.
Well, instead of servants of the Lord, we are actually called in the original Greek the slaves of the Lord, if you're really born again, because He bought us. Now, there's a great difference between a servant and a slave. A servant, you can hire a servant, and they go home every night. They work during the day, and they go home to their husband or their wives. And they just hired servants. But Jesus bought us with His blood, and therefore we become His slaves. We're purchased. And so we have to do it. Now, either you're a slave of Jesus, or you're a slave of the devil. I know who my slave master is, and it's a good slave master. Amen?
Amen?
And the reward is very great. He bought me, and I appreciate it, and I want Him to use me, consume me completely until the very end of my life so that I can stand with Him and be with Him for eternity in the kingdom of heaven, where it's just beyond anything that you could ever dream of. Your wildest, most precious dreams. There couldn't be anything more beautiful than that. Amen?
Amen?
So it's a simple thing to help people in need. It's a simple thing to remember that everything belongs to God, and He's just letting us use it. Amen?
Amen?
So don't get tied up or hung up with things. Amen?
Amen?
The Lord has given us a lot of different things, but I'm not hung up on them. If they just came and took it all away, I mean, it'd be the same thing. I guess the Lord doesn't want me to have it, you know, and that's fine with me. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's just that you just joyfully do whatever you have to go through. Okay, then what else?
25 verse 2. The land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. The land of Israel is considered holy to the Lord, and is therefore also to rest every seventh year. The three foundations of the Old Testament covenant can be seen in the land, the people, and the religious practices. All three are to be preserved as holy to the Lord, and the priests are instructed to maintain the sanctity of the covenant community through the Levitical code.
Right, we are the nation of priests, and we are in charge of the sanctuary, and we can't allow the devil to come in. And if we do, the Bible states that in the Old Testament, if anybody allowed anything to continue on that is demonic and people know it, they're to be killed because you let it go on. That's just like that one Levite that went and took a spear and rammed it through the man's back and her stomach. That ended. God bless that. Here he was killing thousands and thousands of Israelites because they were just watching this going on, and not only that, they were partaking in it. But when this man showed total zealous resentment against it, and as he killed them both, the Lord stopped the plague. He blessed them then. Amen?
Amen.
So, we'll be getting to that chapter pretty soon, just a few days. But goes to show that we don't belong to ourselves. The land that doesn't belong to us. Our own breath doesn't belong to us. He just loans it to us for a while. And he's going to take the breath out of us. And so we should spend our time here in this world preparing for that time, that moment, that minute, that second that he pulls the breath out of us. So that we can stand before him righteous because we did what he said. Amen?
Amen.
We lived the life. We paid the price. We fought a good fight. Amen?
Amen.
And there's a crown laid up for you. For us. Praise the Lord. Okay, then what?
25 verse 10. The 50th year shall be a jubilee, which apparently followed a seventh cycle of Sabbath years. Verse 8. It's quite apparent. Hence making two successive special years every 50 years. Jesus' proclamation from Isaiah 61:2 that he came, quote, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, unquote, Luke 4:19, is against the backdrop of Jubilee principles taught in this chapter. Isaiah 61:2, quote, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn and to comfort all that mourn, unquote. And Luke 4:19, quote, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, unquote. Israel's other sacred times, 25 verse 1, every seventh day was a solemn rest from all work. This is regarding Sabbath. Exodus 20 verse 8 through 11, chapter 31 verse 12 through 17, Leviticus 23, 3, Deuteronomy 5, 12 through 15. Sabbath years. Every seventh year was designated a, quote, year of release, unquote, to allow the land to lie fallow without being planted. Exodus 23, verse 10 through 11, Leviticus 25, verses 1 through 7.
Yeah, when you don't plow the land, it becomes fallow. And the Lord says, break up that fallow ground. In other words, your heart becomes fallow, hardened when you're not, when the seed of the Lord is not being planted into you. And the only time that seed can grow is when the land, it gets broken up. And your heart, when it gets broken. We had a film the other day about that rock and roll film. What was the name of that again?
They sold
their souls for rock and roll. And it showed babies being dissected, and it shows a surgeon's hand inside of the womb of this woman, and the little infant just grabbed onto his hand to stop him from cutting its skull open and dissecting it into pieces. And many people in the church said that they didn't realize how wicked it was out there, and how that some of them were involved in that sort of stuff when they were out in the world, and they liked that kind of music, this rock and roll music that the words are worshiping Satan. And they said it made this tape made them hate Satan so much, that, and that kind of music so much, that they never ever want to hear it again. Amen?
Amen.
It was a real heartbreaking tape, and shows the necessity of just knowing what evil is and to flee from it. How can you flee from evil if you don't know what it is? Amen?
Amen.
So how can you resist the devil if you don't know who he is? And that's why I point him out all the time, that he's where his seat is. It's in Romans, because the Bible. I've been called to preach the Bible because the Bible tells all these things. And so I just preach the Bible. Okay, then what else?
The year of Jubilee, that's every 50 years, the 50th year, which followed seven Sabbath years, was to proclaim liberty to those who were servants because of debt, and to return their lands to their former owners. Leviticus 25, verse 8 through 55, 27, 17 through 24, Ezekiel 46, 17. The new moon is the first day of the Hebrew 29th or 30th day month. It was a day of rest, special sacrifices, and the blowing of trumpets. Numbers 28:11-15, Psalm 81:3.
You can read Psalm 81:3.
Okay.
But let's, yeah, the people in the church should hear these different scriptures. I like to finish these tapes within an hour. And so let them do some work too. They got to turn some pages. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Psalm 81:3, quote, blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast days, unquote.
Okay.
Dedication, an 8-day feast in the 9th month, Kislev, commemorating the cleansing of the temple from defilement by Syria and its rededication. Dedication means lights or Hanukkah. John 10:22.
Yeah, if you've dedicated your life to the Lord, then you're in the light. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Purim or Lots, a feast on the 14th or 15th of the 12th month, Adar. The name comes from Babylonian Pur, meaning, quote, Lot, unquote. This is found in Esther 9:18-32.
You know, this situation about the poor. You know, the Bible says to do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. Amen?
Amen.
If he was poor and you couldn't get into the doctor's office, or you were poor and your stomach was gnawing, you didn't have enough to eat, wouldn't you like it if somebody says $200, $300, $500, $4,000, if they're the IRS is going to take a saint's property, give it to them and let the Lord bless you back. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, then what?
25:35. If one of your brethren becomes poor, the instruction of the Lord ensures care for the poor and the needy of the house of Israel in the priestly code. As has been seen, one's relationship to the Lord is not restricted by a person's wealth or poverty, because provisions are made within the code for offerings which cost less for those who have limited means.
Right. Now, there's a right and a wrong way. Everybody in the church just can't be doling out finances. When Jennifer did the right thing, she called me, and I gave her the instruction when she said what it is she said. I knew that, and I asked the Lord, and the Lord said, yes, do it. And as it turned out, we didn't have to give it at all in the first place. But the Lord knew our willingness, and so did the party know our willingness to give it to him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? And the doctors know it. Amen. That's a good testimony to everybody around.
Amen.
Okay, then what else? Because we didn't know the people from Adam. All we know is that it's a manufactured person of the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, he made them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
And the references to the last sentence is Leviticus 12:8 and 14:21.
Okay, they can look that up. Then what else?
Gifts of support for the less fortunate become a central part of Jewish faith and practice. See Deuteronomy 15:7-11 and compare the teachings of Jesus in Matthew 6:1-4. To reiterate, starting with Leviticus 25:1-7, the sabbatical year or the Sabbath year, like the weekly Sabbath day, was instituted by God as a special period of rest for the Israelites. Every seventh year was a time of rest for the land, animals, and people. Their rest from work was in itself an act of faith, proving that they believed God would provide for the coming year. It also gave them time to reflect on the fact that God was the true provider. Everything they owned, ultimately, came from His generous hand. When we realize this truth, we will be better able to commit ourselves into God's hands. He is more than able to provide for our needs and help us as we continue in our progression of the maturity process. 25:8-55. The year of Jubilee took place every 50 years. At this time, all the lands and possessions that had passed from one family to another during the previous 49 years were returned to the original owners. This reminded the Israelites that God was really the owner of all their possessions. They were only the managers. This would have curbed their tendency towards materialism. It would also provide families that had lost everything during the previous 50 years a chance for recovering all their goods again that the Lord has originally lent them. True contentment in life comes only when we see our material possessions as gifts from the hand of God. Jesus taught that we should give God first place in our life and live as He commands for us to live, to let Him represent Himself in us and through us. Then God will provide everything we need to live from day to day. Matthew 6:33. Quote, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Unquote.
All right, praise the Lord. That was Leviticus chapter 25, and we'll be doing chapter 26 later this evening. Until then, keep thinking about the Lord. Think about these scriptures. Think about the things that we're supposed to do every day that the Lord has told us to do. And do them, because that way you'll be blessed by the Lord. Amen? And in ways that you never know. A lot of times the Lord say, "Well, the Lord hasn't blessed me." How do you know that you didn't have leukemia or cancer or some horrible heart disease and it was going to cost you every penny you had, or make you to go to the poorhouse or die and be in a coffin and not be able to work continuous for the Lord? He touched you. He healed you. Only in eternity will you know how many things the Lord has done for you without your knowledge, because of your faith, because of your doing what He said. Okay, so meditate day and night on these things. Think, put your thoughts into the Lord. Those whose minds are stayed upon the Lord will have perfect peace and a sound mind. And until chapter 26, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.